Welcome to an edition of Belfast Climate Talk on WBFY, Belfast Community Radio Station. This is a project of the Climate, Energy and Utilities Committee in Belfast. The opinions of the host and guest on this program are their own and not necessarily those of the city. One of the things that people experience when they look for information about what can I do to help ease the consequences of climate change, one thing that people will confront is a recommendation of eating less meat. I was interested in that because I've been a vegetarian most of my life. And so I looked for a source in Maine who could speak to that issue of reduced meat consumption. And that brought me to an organization called Maine Friends of Animals. And in contact with them, Maine Friends of Animals recommended today's guest, a board member, Martha McDonald. So thanks for joining us, Martha. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it too.
Can you say a little bit about your role with Maine Friends of Animals?
I'm on the board of directors, and I'm also on the legislative committee. And we work to upgrade and install animal welfare laws and wildlife protection laws, animal agriculture laws. And as a whole, Maine Friends of Animals really covers a lot of ground in many different facets, you know, public education, and a lot of things. We have a very comprehensive website, which you should check out if you have time.
Absolutely. And I've done that. In some preliminary conversations, we've spoken specifically about animal agriculture. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if you could summarize some of the information that you've accumulated about the impacts of animal agriculture on our climate.
Well, geez, it's hard to pick a place to begin. There's so many destructive features of animal agriculture. You know, everything from water depletion to ocean dead zones to habitat destruction to species extinction. The statistics are mind-boggling. I mean, if you look at it globally, for example, the Amazon rainforest, 1 to 2 acres of rainforest is cleared every second for animal agriculture, specifically the cattle industry, being beef and dairy, for either grazing animals or growing crops to raise animals. And that's just one small example. It uses, animal agriculture uses a third of the Earth's water every year. And as far as greenhouse gas emissions, and I appreciate that everybody's worked up about CO2 and the transportation industry, but transportation, and that's all forms of transportation, produces about 13% of greenhouse gas emissions, where animal agriculture produces 51% of greenhouse gas emissions. And not only CO2, but animal agriculture is very responsible for high contents of methane production and nitrous oxide production. And methane can be about 20 to 100 times more destructive, and nitrous oxide is close to about 300 times more destructive than CO2. So there's so many, I mean, it's such a far-reaching industry that it's kind of mind-boggling to consider.
It might be a time for me to insert what we were talking about before. I was remembering the work that former Vice President Al Gore did in putting together a book and a documentary called An Inconvenient Truth. And sometimes when we begin talking about things like looking at our meat consumption or looking at dairy or other types of animal farming and animal agriculture, we confront some level of resistance about changing in our habits or changing in our consumption patterns. And so there are many inconveniences, whether, you know, we look at a more efficient vehicle, operating a more efficient vehicle, or an efficient heating system. We're confronted because of the impact of climate change and global warming. We're confronted with having to make personal decisions about how we want to live our lives.
Well, that's exactly true. And I think people have good intentions. And of course, they want to save the planet. So everybody's buying electric vehicles. And for a perfect example is they're ditching the plastic straws, but they're still eating fish. So plastic straws are responsible for 0.01% of the plastic in the oceans. But by contrast, 54% of the plastic in the oceans are discarded fishing equipment and fishing nets. So there's a much better way to address that issue by just not eating fish. But eating is such a primal thing to people that it's a very hard, and people love what they love. You know, they want a juicy hamburger or they want a milkshake or whatever it is that they crave. And, you know, they can not only can they get resentful, they can get downright hostile about it. So, you know, it's hard to change that old school way of thinking. And public education, I think, is the most important thing. But there's a lot of suppression and mismanagement at the federal level. So, you know, you have the ag gag laws in the Midwest where a lot of the big cattle farms are, and they don't want the general public to know how destructive this industry is. So, and people kind of just stick their fingers in their ears and go la 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 la. So it takes I think it's going to take something catastrophic for them to wake up and realize that they're going to have to make some personal changes. It's such a simple thing to do. You don't have to go through legislation. You don't have to, you know, change the world. All you have to do is change what you're having for breakfast.
Well, that seems pretty straightforward. I had a conversation yesterday with Maine's Attorney General, and Maine has filed a lawsuit against the fossil fuel companies. And one of the things that was contained in his complaint is years of deception about the destructive aspects of fossil fuel usage and an attempt, as you're saying, to not give that information to consumers so consumers can make choices. You've sent me trailers of a couple of very interesting videos, documentaries. And I know you might want to say something about Cowspiracy, which you've shared with me.
Yes, Cowspiracy is something I think that everybody should see. It's a documentary. I think it was done in about 2012 or 2013, but it has mind-boggling statistics. It has a fact checker feature through the movie, and the guy is Kip, I think it's Kip Anderson, goes actually to the natural resource organizations like Greenpeace and the whole lot of them, and it just again it just goes to show how much the dollar plays such a big role in it, because animal agriculture is a its tentacles extend far. And if, I mean, a lot of industries would just collapse without animal agriculture, for example, big pharmaceutical, because a lot of the health issues that we have pertain to the consumption of animal products. So it's a big dollar industry that, you know, puts a lot of food on the table for a lot of people, so to speak. So Cowspiracy kind of touches on all of those things. It also gives you just an array of statistics that will open your eyes. And I think if the general public saw it, it would really change, it would change a lot of people's minds.
And the title of it is Cowspiracy, Cowspiracy.
Correct. Just like Conspiracy, except Cowspiracy, because they're really focused, laser focused on cattle. But as you move along and you look at the bigger picture, it's not just, you know, meat and dairy. That's a huge driver. I'd say that was the biggest driver, but it also filters into animal agriculture with regard to, say, wool or leather or, you know, all of those other things. I mean, you'd be surprised. Animal products are in so many things that you consume, like a gummy bear, for example, that's made out of ligaments and tendons. You know, they try to use every bit of the animal because it's the rest of it's all profit. So it's really it's like opening Pandora's box. But you know, the industry itself, agriculture industry, has a lot of political power. You know, they have the money, they have the lobbyists to influence Congress, and they like to keep it quiet because everybody's making money. So, but in the end, we will all pay the price because We're all in it together. And if we don't start addressing the climate issues, then all the rest of it is just white noise.
Another video that you recommended to me, I think it was called Dominion.
Yes.
I've not seen that yet, but it's something that I've been thinking about recently. I think that refers to a passage in Genesis in the Christian Bible, in which God is said to have granted humans dominion over plants and animals. And I think there's a debate about what that actually means. So some Christian communities are saying, we can't use it all up. God appointed us to be stewards to make it all work, and we can't destroy it. That would be a violation. So that's an interesting dynamic that people are confronting.
Yes, it's really an ethical dilemma, because what you have plant-based, which really is kind of a diet and a product that's sort of nondescript, but vegan actually moves into a much more higher ethical issue, because I mean, this is, I don't want to get too off message, because but I mean, the immeasurable suffering that goes on in the animal agriculture industry is shameful. I can't go on any further about that because it is. But Dominion really focuses on, it does focus on the environmental issues, but it really focuses on the ethical issue of what we are doing to animals. But the top three environmental ones we were discussing is eating our way to extinction, which is great. It's narrated by Kate Winslet, and Cowspiracy, I think, is one of the best. And then also Milt, which really focuses on the dairy industry. Because vegetarians are excellent and we're so grateful for them. And if they could just take it one step further to drop the dairy and the eggs, because the dairy and the eggs are also equally as destructive to the environment. And then again, you have the moral issues of that too.
Is there a difference between manufacturing a higher level of farming than somebody who has some chickens in their backyard, or does that have a cumulative effect as well?
Yeah, well, no, I think you're right about that, because I think there's a lot of gray areas. I don't think anything is exactly, black and white. I have a neighbor who I love, and she has chickens that all have names, and they have this beautifully heated barn, and they each have their own little things. It's lovely. And but one of the things in Cowspiracy they touched on is, grass-fed cattle that have all this wonderful space to roam, and they live these happy lives, but we don't have enough space on the earth to accommodate that kind of environment to feed the world. We would have to take down every single city, and it would cover all the land mass. And as it is, we already take up 50% of the land, well, 40, 44 to 50% of the land mass already for animal agriculture. I mean, that's a big statistic to get your head around just that. So there's no way to sustain our 8 billion population with, that amount of land that we have. So, and then there's a side effects that the impoverished countries will export all their grain to the Western countries to feed the animals, so the Westerners can eat the animals, and meanwhile, the impoverished countries are starving to death, but they could be eating their own grain. So, I mean, it's a huge topic.
Yeah, I wanted to recommend a resource that was important to me over 50 years ago. A woman named Frances Morlet Pay wrote a book called Diet for a Small Planet. It was published in 1971. And when you talk about the expanding population and the utilization of land, that was something that she was totally in the forefront about recommending. And the book was republished a 50-year anniversary with a continuous exploration of that theme. And as I say, it was influential to me. I would recommend it to others, Diet for a Small Planet.
Yes, that's a great book.
We're sort of reaching the end of our time, but I
Okay.
want to encourage our listeners, if you have a reaction to this program, or if you have recommendations about future programs on climate topics, please get in touch with us at belfastclimate@gmail.com. Anything that you have to address to our guest, Martha McDonald, today, I'll be happy to pass along to her. And I appreciate everyone listening and paying attention to this. So, thank you very much. Thank you for sharing the information and giving us resources to look for more information.
Well, I thank you too, and I appreciate your concerted efforts to do all of this wonderful work.
Yeah, we'll keep it up. You keep
Yes. Hey, you too.
it up. Okay, thanks, Martha.
Thank you.